It is awesome to be here with you this morning. Like I said earlier, Pastor Aaron was going to be here continuing the Hear Jesus series, but he is dealing with illness, and we certainly are praying for him to get better soon, very soon. But I know he's tuning in, and I know he longs to be back with you and can't wait to be back up here next week. But I know he misses being here with you today. And I've been told to tell you, make sure you read up on Pergamum, because that's where he'll be back when we continue to hear Jesus next week. So we expect 120 or so experts in the Church of Pergamum back from Revelation. So if you get reading now, read up, and we'll all be experts by next week. Amen? Amen. So here we are, last-minute pivot, which is awesome. It's great to be here. But as we start this morning, I have a question for you. Has anyone here ever been homesick? Yeah, I mean, I think most of us have been homesick at least once or twice. Maybe some of you look like the gentleman on the screen there, a little dejected, a little depressed, being away from home. You know what homesickness is, right? We've probably all experienced that once or twice. You go away somewhere, maybe it's just for a vacation, maybe it's for an extended stay. Maybe for whatever other reason, you're away from home for a long period of time, not by choice, or maybe it is by choice, or whatever the case may be, but in those times, you just can't get home out of your mind. Merriam-Webster defines being homesick as having a longing for home. Thank you. That really clears it up for us, right? Or having a longing for family when you're absent from them. That makes sense, right? I mean, that's what we think of when we think of being homesick. I think we've all experienced that a time or two. You've missed being home. You've missed being around family. Maybe you haven't. Maybe you've never had to be in a situation like that. But you can at least imagine what it would be like, right? Take the person away from home, take the person away from family, and you get a little homesick. Because we tend to get attached to anything familiar, anything that's comfortable, anything that we like, anything that we desire and enjoy, and home would certainly apply to that. Upon further research on this, though, I didn't realize how big of a thing homesickness actually was. For some people, it really hits home, no pun intended, as it can cause loneliness, depression, isolation, and other negative health impacts. See, for people who actually are truly, truly homesick, it really does impact their health. There's an adverse reaction to missing home. Also, this was interesting because I started thinking about what types of situations would cause somebody to be homesick. What's a common example? And one common example is college students who go off to college. Did you know that 70% of college freshmen who go off to college experience some form of homesickness in their first year away from home? 30% of college students, period, whether freshman, sophomore, junior, senior, whatever the case may be, experience it. And that makes sense because for many students, it's likely the first time they've ever been away from home for an extended time. Yeah, sure, you could go to camps or on vacations or time away from family, but when they go off to college, that's like it, right? It's a step into adulthood. It's the first time they're away from home. And it's not surprising, because our culture glorifies, rightfully so, home. Here are just a few ways that our culture glorifies home, and some of these expressions may be common to you. Home is where the heart is. Home, sweet home. There's no place like home. Thank you, Dorothy and the Wizard of Oz, for that last one. There's some of you got it, and my first people are like, what? When, what's that? No, hopefully you know what the Wizard of Oz is. More, home is the nicest word there is. Another, the sun at home warms better than the sun elsewhere. I really don't know what that means, but we're gonna roll with that one because apparently home is important, right? And finally, the ache for home lives in all of us. These are all sayings by popular and well-known authors and writers, and why? Because each of us longs for home. But what if I told you that the true definition of home for the believer is different than the world? Yes, we all have a worldly concept of home. Many of you, when you leave the service here today, you're going to go home. You're going to go with family. We all long for home in an earthly sense, but if you have put your faith in Jesus Christ, if you are his, then you are actually not home yet. In fact, you will not be home this side of glory. Therefore, the title of this message is Homesick for Glory. And before we get started this morning, let's go to our Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, we just praise you. We praise you for this morning. We praise you for your word, Lord. And we praise you that through what you've done and through what you've done through your son, Jesus Christ, and through the promises that you have given that we see in your word, that, Lord, we have a future. We have hope. We have eternity awaiting. We have glory. We have that hope. We have a day to truly look forward to, Lord. But even until that day, you are still with us now. Lord, so we ask just for your presence and your word to go out in a mighty way this morning, Lord, and that we just our love for you grows, our knowledge of you continues to grow, and our passion and fire and heart for you, Lord, grows as well. We ask all this in your great and holy name this morning. Amen. If you have your Bibles, please turn with me to Psalm 84. Now, you may have read this psalm. It may be a well-known psalm for you, but this morning, we're gonna be in the Word of God. So, Psalm 84, and the verses will be on the screen as well. How lovely are your dwelling places, O Lord of hosts! My soul longed and even yearned for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh sing for joy to the living God. The bird also has found a house, and the swallow a nest for herself where she may lay her young. Even your altars, O Lord of hosts, my King and my God. How blessed are those who dwell in your house. They are ever praising you. Selah. How blessed is the man whose strength is in you, in whose heart are the highways to Zion. Passing through the valley of Baca, they make it a spring. The early rain also covers it with blessings. They go from strength to strength. Every one of them appears before God in Zion. O Lord God of hosts, hear my prayer. Give ear, O God of Jacob. Behold our shield, O God, and look upon the face of your anointed. For a day in your courts is better than 1,000 outside. I would rather stand at the threshold of the house of my God than dwell in the tents of wickedness. For the Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord gives grace and glory. No good thing does he withhold from those who walk uprightly. O Lord of hosts, how blessed is the man who trusts in you. You see, for the believer, it is quite clear. Now, this talks about the house of the Lord and the courts, and we're going to get and dive into that in a little bit. But it's quite clear that home is truly found in the presence of God. It's truly found in glory. And the psalm gives great insight into that. Therefore, in the 12 verses of this psalm, we see the following. We see the longing for glory, the way to glory, and the greatness of glory. And when you think of glory, think of these words, right? You saw them on the screen. Longing, way, greatness. If I told you that we all have a longing for glory, if we all have a longing for God's presence, would you believe me? Do you have a longing for God in that way? Does your heart long for him? Does your heart yearn for him? Does it long for your true home? Does it long for or yearn for your true home? As I said earlier, the believer should have a longing for our true home, eternity, should have a longing for the presence of God. And the psalmist makes clear here how that is better. Just a little bit of that is better than a whole lot of anything else. If you look at verses 1 through 4, right, you see words that make it sound like a longing, right? How lovely are your dwelling places, O Lord of hosts! My soul longed and even yearned for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh sing for joy to the living God. The bird has also found a house, and the swallow a nest for herself where she may lay her young. Even your altars, O Lord of hosts, my King and my God, how blessed are those who dwell in your house. They are ever praising you. Sounds like a longing to me, and it sounds like something that's not ever going to end. In fact, the word longing appears right here in the verse. In verse 2, this word for longed that we see comes from the Hebrew word that means to have a strong feeling or desire for something, someone, or in this case, some place. Brothers and sisters, let me ask you this morning, do you have a strong feeling or desire for the Lord? Do you have a strong longing to be with him in glory? A couple words after longed, the word yearned appears. It's an interesting word, yearn. We don't use that one a whole lot. I mean, I think if you did, you might get a couple looks, right? I yearn for that. I yearn for this. It's not a common part of our language, but it's a beautiful word because it means something similar, to have that strong attraction or desire to something. See, if I am his, if I am the Lord's, I'm going to yearn for him. It reminds me of something one of my professors in college used to always say, like, the more you know of God, the more you should love him and the more you should want him. Oh, to have the heart of the psalmist when it comes to the Lord and wanting him and wanting to be in glory and desiring that day more than anything else. In fact, this is not the only place in Scripture where a longing for eternity is mentioned. 2 Corinthians 5, verses 1 through 3. For we know that if the earthly tent, which is our house, is torn down, we have a building from God, a house not made with human hands, eternal in the heavens. For indeed in this house we groan, longing to be clothed with our dwelling from heaven, inasmuch as we, having put it on, will not be found naked. See, this solidifies the reality that the real longing, the real desire, is to be with the Lord in his house, just as the psalmist describes. And this reality is further emphasized by our Lord in John 14, verses 2 through 3. In my Father's house are many dwelling places. If it were not so, I would have told you, for I go to prepare a place for you. If I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. See, Jesus is affirming the reality of eternal life. He's affirming the reality of glory. That's where he is going. He is going to that place, and he is preparing a place for you. He is preparing a place for all of us who are his. And goodness, don't we want to be excited for that? Don't you want to have a longing for that, a longing to be there, and can't wait and be so excited to get there? And Jesus tells us, right? Our minds and our hearts, that's where we should be. We should be thinking about that. And that's where we should have a longing for glory. In fact, you know these verses too, but they'll be up on the screen. In Matthew 6, do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal, but store up for yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust destroys and where thieves do not break in or steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Anybody here ever seen a movie about a treasure hunt or a TV show about a treasure hunt? If you've seen one, you've seen them all, really. I mean, let's be honest about that. But what are they always after, right? They're always after some long-lost, ancient, never-before-found treasure. And as a side, isn't it amazing how they always find the impossible to find treasure? It's all very original, really. But anyway, what is a character trait that is almost always possessed by the treasure hunters or the main characters in these shows or these movies? They become obsessive. They're all consumed in their pursuit of the prize. Their whole life is geared around towards finding this treasure. Their brain gets frazzled. It leads to hardships. Impacts their relationships because they're all about and consumed about this treasure. We're often told of how they dream of finding this treasure and what they imagine it to be like, and that informs their many times lifelong pursuit of the prize. We understand that now, right? We understand it when we see it in a movie, right? Of course, they're after a treasure. Like, why wouldn't you be? That's a great thing to find. So I've heard. And that's what the movies say anyway. That's what Hollywood says, right? So it must be true. But when Jesus says it, it really rings true to the human heart. We often find our pursuits in things that aren't worthwhile, when in reality, our treasure should always be stored up in heaven. Our mind should be eternity focused. Our longing should not be on earthly pursuit, but it should be on the eternal ones. That's where our heart should be. Are we like the treasure hunter who is all consumed in their pursuit? See, many people give a lot of consumption, time, and investment to earthly pursuits. And as Pastor Aaron often says, we understand it in the real world, but do we understand it spiritually? Do we give our investment, our consumption, our entire life to pursue the things of God, to where we can have that longing and yearning for Him, for His presence, for glory, to be considerate, blessed, to be involved in with anything related to the Lord? Our pursuit is the things of God and His kingdom and glory, right? That's living in light of eternity, living with eternity in mind. Now track with me here, because it tracks back to Psalm 44, because look at these words, right? Lovely. Talking about the dwelling place of the Lord. We already talked about these, but longed and yearned, which we've already talked about. Other words, joy, blessed, praising, all in conjunction with the Lord and all those who dwell with Him. See, isn't it amazing when you think about that? All of these words form this picture should make us so want to be about the Lord and so make us want to be about glory and just can't wait for that day. Can you just, so excited for that day? Are you so excited for that day that you just can't help it? You can't help yourself when you think about, wow, I'm going to be with the Lord forever in His presence, and I get to serve Him now, and He's with me now. Does that just fire you up? The commentator, Derek Kidner, wrote a wonderful, wonderful commentary on the psalm, but he compares the language of these verses in Psalm 84 to that of a love letter. Because the psalmist, the sons of Korah, and the psalm, and we're going to get to the background of the psalm here in a minute, but don't you just feel the love of the Lord in this psalm? Like the writing, this so in love with Him, and so in love with the things of God, and so in love with His house. Do we love the Lord so much that we can't wait to be with Him? Do you love the Lord so much right now that you can't wait to serve Him and be thinking, I can't wait to go share Him with somebody today. I can't wait till I get to open up His Word. I can't wait to do anything related to the Lord. I mean, is that our heart? Is that our mindset this morning? I mean, the hallowed Creator, Lord, and Savior. Last night, we had our first Perch Bible study that we started, and it's talking about the names of God and what the different names of God means and how it's often connected to His character. And just the more you read about the Lord and the more you know about God, it's just like, let's go. Like, I go tell somebody about Him. See, the world is so wrapped up in the here and the now that Christians should look so crazy because we are living for a kingdom that is not on the earth. We're about a mission and a purpose that is eternal. It's not about the world. It's not about an earthly pursuit. It's about the godly pursuit. But if we never share Christ with anyone, if we never talk about Him, if we never read His Word, are marginal at best with our service and do all these things, we aren't longing for anything that's beyond this world. We look very much like the world. Brothers and sisters, we're exiled. We are living for an eternity and for glory that we have not seen yet. But we will. Hallelujah. We will. And that alone, the very idea of being in glory, the very idea and thinking about God's presence and being in His presence is a blessing to those who receive that promise and to those who believe it. Psalm 84:4, how blessed are those who dwell in your house. It doesn't say, ooh, being in your house sounds kind of nice, It's blessed. They are ever praising you. We're not just praising God for a little bit. We're praising God forever. Once there, and even now, I'd argue, but even once there, it isn't going to stop. Like ever. If that doesn't fire you up to go try and snatch as many people as possible so that becomes their reality as well, then you have to work that out with the Lord. Because that is great news. Reminds me of the song that says, it's not good news, it's the best news ever. But do you have that longing for glory? Do you love the Lord that much? Let's stop grading our love for the Lord on a scale compared to other people. Let's grade our scale, our love for the Lord based on what God says, what his word says. As Pastor Aaron preached a few weeks ago in the letter to the Ephesians, let's have a genuine first love that is the Lord. Not a love that fades, but a love that stays so on fire, so passionate. Don't be like the world. Don't think that the world offers anything better. I mean, no one here is thinking that, right? But so often in the way that we live, we make choices and do things that would make others think that, you know what, maybe what the world offers is not as good as what God offers. But it shows like, you know, maybe our priorities are a little bit. Like, God is everything. In fact, D.L. Moody once said, if I walk with this world, I can't walk with God. Perhaps that quote can be amended to even say, if I long for this world, I can't long for eternity. Let's truly long for glory. The longing for glory. Next, we have the way to glory. Psalm 84, 5 through 8. How blessed is the man. There's that word blessed again. I'm telling you, that word appears a lot. How blessed is the man whose strength is in you, in whose heart are the highways to Zion. Passing through the valley of Baca, they make it a spring. The early rain also covers it with blessings. They go from strength to strength. Every one of them appears before God in Zion. O Lord God of hosts, hear my prayer. Give ear, O God of Jacob. You might be thinking, on first glance, what do these verses have anything to do with glory? That's a perceptive question. Now we are thinking. There is a way to glory, is there not? What is that way? First, we see that the man whose strength is in the Lord is described as what? Verse 5, blessed. But in you is the key phrase of that verse, right? The blessing, the one who finds their strength in God, not in the world, not in reading a great book or listening to a good podcast. Those things are great, but it's first, everything is first and foremost found in the Lord. The way is always found in the Lord. The way. Does this bring to mind any other well-known verses talking about the way? Jesus said to him, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. John 14, 6. Jesus is the way. We know that. No one in glory finds their way there apart from him. No one finds the presence of God apart from Jesus Christ. But wait. There's more. I love how God's word connects, and this is a prime example, because this is just a couple of verses later of what we just read a few minutes ago. Talking about Jesus is going to prepare a place for them, confirming eternity and glory, right? He's going to that place. And confirming that, yeah, that's a place you want to be. That's the Airbnb you want to book, the spiritual Airbnb. If Jesus himself is preparing a place for you, then your heart should have a deep longing and yearning to be there. Your heart should have a deep longing and yearning for him. There's a connection to Psalm 84. In this exchange, however, Thomas, it's always Thomas, right, asks, Lord, we do not know where you are going. How do we know the way? Hey, I respect Thomas. You know, sometimes we need a roadmap, right? This man needed a roadmap. Jesus, this place you are going to prepare a place for us, it sounds great. That's awesome. It sounds awesome, but just one problem. Where is it and how do we get there? I mean, truly, this is where you want to be, am I right? So you're going to want to know the way. You're going to want to know what's the deal here. I want to hear more about this. And Jesus gives the most straightforward, matter-of-fact answer about how one finds the way, how one finds him and the way to glory. It is him. The way to glory, the path to glory, is found in no one else. There is no other name under which we are saved. It is one of Jesus' many I am statements in John that signify and point towards his deity and his lordship, what he came to do, who he is. This is so important. It's so critical. First, because, friends, you can't be saved any other way. And we know that the opposite of glory is what? It's eternal punishment. It's punishment for sin. It's hell. So if we aren't longing for glory, and if we aren't praising God for the way to glory, then what are we doing? What are we doing when we think about who Jesus is, what God has done, what he has saved us from, what he has promised us, and what the hope that we have, and the fact that we get to serve him now? Where is our heart? Is it truly for the Lord? He is the way. He is the way. And if you're here this morning, or if you're tuning in and you have yet to put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ, friend, make today the day that you find the way, the truth, the life. Because this wonderful eternity, the presence of God, being with God himself in his house, it's only possible through Jesus Christ. That's the way to glory. However, we aren't there yet, right? So a question we must also ask is, what is on the way to glory? What is on the way to glory? The point then becomes a double meaning. Jesus is the way to glory, and he is also with us on the way to glory. The thing about the Christian life is that we know we are going there, right? We know where we're going. We know the hope that we have. We know our future. That's secure, but we aren't there yet. Which makes there's a reason for the longing. There's a reason for the yearning. And we understand this in the world because if I'm enjoying something, I'm having a good old time doing something or being somewhere, I am certainly not in that moment overly desiring to be elsewhere. How many here have had just such a wonderful vacation that maybe you thought, you know, I'm just going to stay there and I may not come home because I'm having such a good time? Not every vacation is like that, but the fact that there is a longing to be elsewhere here now, to be home, highlights how this world will cause trouble. There will be trial, and we need strength and we need perseverance. I mean, you think about last week, Pastor Aaron's message. As we've seen and as we've saw and hear Jesus, the Lord gives a good report on the churches and the believers who are holding on, persevering for his namesake, which should tell us there's going to be a reason to need to persevere and to hold on. And even in Psalm 84, the psalmist highlights this, the Lord is your strength. Brothers and sisters, if we don't need strength, then we're not facing anything that would require strength. It is great and it's better to dwell in the house of the Lord because this earth is full of sin. It's full of trials. And as you go through life, hardship, and many other things, it's going to happen. It's going to happen. Psalm 84 is set up against that very backdrop because when this psalm was written, Israel was in exile. They're literally longing physically to get back to the temple of God to be able to worship him in his courts because they've been scattered from their land. They were in a land that was not theirs, a land that was not promised to them, a land that was not given to them, and it wasn't their, well, it was their choices that led to that, but you talk about being homesick? And to worsen matters, they were there because of their own sin. Just as we today are in a place that's not really home, and one that is characterized by trials and hardships because of what? Sin. We live in a fallen world. If we truly long for glory, we are going to long for the God of glory on the way to that point. Because here's the thing, like, we know that this world's not our home. We know that the world is not right. We know that the world is not the way it was originally created. We know the sin-marred effect of everything that we see. So if he is the way, and he is, he certainly helps us on the way. He's not left you alone right now. Yeah, being with him in glory, and that day is going to be great when we're with him forever. But guess what? Plot twist, he is with you right now. God is with you, even in that trial. Because let me ask you this. Do you long for God in a trial? Fair question. Do you long for God at all? Is God truly the source of your joy? You know, many people have no problem praising God when things are going well. But really, the reverse is true if you think about it. A lot of people find a lot of joy and a lot of strength in trial because they're forced into a place where they have to find the joy. They have to find the strength. That's what's required in that moment. God has to be the source of your joy, friends. He has to be, because otherwise, how do you get through the here on earth on the way to their eternity? See, God hasn't just saved you. He's also your Lord. We already talked about Psalm 84 being set against a backdrop of exile, right? Verse 6 talks and says, passing through the valley of Baca, they make it a spring. The early rain also covers it with blessings. There's a little bit of debate on what the Valley of Baca could have meant in this original place. Some think it may have been a real valley. Possibly a treacherous valley that had to be crossed for many on the road to Jerusalem, to the temple. We don't know for sure, but what we do know is that when read, the original audience would have seen it as a terminology consistent with weeping. You are going through a valley. There is weeping. But the weeping turns into a spring, and even the rain becomes a blessing. See, even when you go through that valley, it can be a blessing. Why? Because God is working. God is with you. He is using the trials. He's using hardships of life to the point you towards him, towards eternity in glory. See, that this may be something you face on the way, but when you get there, when you get to that final destination, oh, it's going to be so awesome. It's going to be so great. All of your longing, all of your yearning will be worth it, because you'll see in that day, you'll see his face when you're in his presence. But your presence is, his presence is with you now, verse 8, as you anticipate being in his presence. I love this, because I mean, I'm just saying, like, look, where else in the world? The world can't give you this, right? You're going to be in his presence one day. You're going to see him face to face, but his presence is with you now. He hasn't left you alone. Whatever your valley is, whatever you're going through, look to the way, on the way to glory. The way to glory. And the final point concerning glory is this, the greatness of glory. All right, enough said, let's go home, right? Glory's great. No. See what I did there? Let's go home, see? Yeah. But seriously, look how this psalm ends. Behold our shield, O God, and look upon the face of your anointed. For a day in your courts is better than 1,000 outside. I would rather stand at the threshold of the house of my God than dwell in the tents of wickedness. For the Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord gives grace and glory. No good thing does he withhold from those who walk uprightly. O Lord of hosts, how blessed is the man who trusts in you. I don't know about you, but all of that sounds pretty awesome. The psalmist here sees God as the only way and sees God as the only place to find protection, peace, and the only thing worthy of a heart's longing. Better is one day in the court of the Lord than 1,000 outside of it. Some of us here for sure just started thinking of the song, Better is One Day. I did as well when I was reading that. But it gives the point, right? One day. Better is just one day. Does that not highlight the greatness of his house? His courts? I mean, what's the alternative? Wickedness? Which is exactly what we're told. I mean, imagine this. If somebody offered you $1,000 or $1, we're taking $1,000, but now we're going to flip that. The one day is so much more infinitely valuable than the thousand elsewhere. I'd rather stand at the threshold, be right there at the house of God, than dwell in any tent of wickedness. That's what the psalmist says, and I hope that it's a prayer of all of us. It's eternal in scope, but it's also temporal, because think about it. Many people today willingly choose to dwell in the tent of wickedness. I mean, have you ever been, I don't know if you've ever been camping. I'm not saying anybody is dwelling in a tent of wickedness when you camp, but you go camping, like, there's always the one person, right, that has such an awesome tent set up. And you go camping, you got your little tent there, and you're like, oh, wow, like, I'd rather dwell in that tent over there. That's a nice tent. That's, I mean, what is that? It's like the five-star suite over there, you know? They got electricity and running water and all the things that my little tent over here does not have. We understand that when we go real life camping. Let's understand that spiritually. That's the house of the Lord. It's so much better and so much greater. There's so much blessing, so much greatness found in obeying the Lord, found in his presence, being in fellowship with him, thinking about the prospect of glory. But so many choose the opposite. Not just now, but they make the eternal choice. Wickedness. And that's where the choice really lies, right? The eternal choice is either the house of the Lord or the house of Satan, the house of wickedness. And if you're listening to this today, you've most likely chosen the house of the Lord. But many choose the tent of wickedness in how they live. They may be covered by the blood, but there is no eternal longing. They may profess Christ, but the way they live shows everything but. No heart for the Lord, no heart for souls, no heart for his word, no heart of anything of God. It's like, come here, I do what I need to do, and then I go, and I'll see you next Sunday. I urge you to ask yourself, what are you practically choosing? What are you choosing? This morning, let's resolve and let's commit to obeying the Lord. To have that longing for glory, to have that longing for his presence, to have that longing for him. For him. And ask God to give that to you if you don't have it, for whatever the reason may be. Because glory is great, eternity is great, because our God is great. And he has made his dwelling inside of you right now, as it would have it. Isn't that cool? We get to dwell in the house of the Lord forever one day, but until then, he is dwelling within you. He is right here. Wow. I mean, every communion, we talk about glory, right? And what it will be like in that day, the love feast, the marriage supper of the Lamb, that day will be pretty great. It will be a wonderful day. As the song says, though, blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, but what a foretaste of glory divine. You know, we can only imagine what that day will be like, but even right now, we have a lot to praise God for. Even what he's doing now and his promise for then. And that's really when you get to the heart of the Psalms and get to the heart of this particular psalm. It's just, there's anticipation. There's also a lot of praising going on right now. We know glory will be great because the Lord is there and we will be with him. We also know it will be great because that's how the psalmist describes. Not only is it just one day there better, but to see the glory of the Lord, to experience his goodness. Just to see him face to face. Does that sound pretty great to you? But his goodness, his blessing is available right now for those who would have a heart for him. Choose his court, not your court of wickedness. Choose the word, not the world. Choose Jesus, Choose the ness that begins with great and not wicked. The greatness of glory. It's all pretty awesome, isn't it? I mean, just think about that. Like, think about one day, Lord, are you kidding me? That's awesome. But we have to be real with ourselves right now. For how great it will be to be eternally in the presence of God, do we enjoy him and do we love him that way right now? Do we truly say in our hearts, I am so glad that I have Christ? Not just now, but forever. Because there is that in-between, right? You come to know Christ and you're going to be called home one day, but you got that in-between right now. You can't be homesick for your true home if you aren't looking forward to going there, if you don't even view it as your home. See, if you live with a view towards this life and this life alone and not the things of God, this world alone, something may be amiss. Something may be amiss. Let's be a church that's comprised of believers who love the Lord, who want to do his will, who want to win souls, want to be about the kingdom that's not of this world. EC Grace, does that sound like something you want to be a part of? Then what are we waiting for? We have Christ. He's with us. He has given us his spirit. We can go right now and we can be about the Lord. Let's long for glory. If we long for glory, we're going to want to do the things right now on the way there. Pastor Aaron has challenged us to be a church that prays, to be a church that reads, to be a church that goes. That's a church that's on the move. That's a church that's on fire. If we all commit to doing these things, we are living with eternity in mind, with glory in mind. We are living with a whole pursuit. Everything is about the Lord. Do you want people to think of you and think of, this person's got it, right? Everything that they are about is about the Lord. I want to be like that. I want some of that. No matter what the world says, no matter what the world thinks, no matter what the world tells you, I want to be about the Lord. It reminds me of this quote from John Bunyan's Pilgrim's Progress. Many of you maybe read that book about desiring only the Lord and not the world. I focused on the fact that what God says is indeed best. It doesn't matter if all the men in the world are against it. So seeing that God prefers his religion, seeing that God prefers a tender conscience, seeing that those who make themselves, I love this part, fools for the kingdom of heaven are wisest, and that the poor man who loves Christ is richer than the greatest man in the world who hates him. I turned to shame and said, depart, you who are an enemy to my salvation, should I listen to your words which are contrary to my sovereign Lord? If we love the Lord, and if we know that we aren't home, we will be longing for the Lord because we are homesick. We know that there's just something about this world that is not going to satisfy us because our true glory, our true joy, our true satisfaction is found in him. You are a citizen of heaven and an exile here, hopefully sick for your true home. And the thing about being homesick, for anybody who's ever experienced it, that person in their heart does anything and everything to get all of home that they can. Maybe they bring it to where they're at. Maybe they do whatever they can. They just can't get enough of home. They miss it so much that they're thinking about it. They're longing for it. They're making phone calls. They're doing whatever they can to have a little bit of that home where they're at. We can do that because we can do that with the Lord. We can be about the things that are about him. We can do the things that he would have us do. We can be in prayer. We can be in his word. We can be going. We can be telling people about him because that's who we are about. Are we doing anything and everything? Is our lifelong pursuit? Does it consume us? Is that all we want to be about? To be about the Lord and to be about his presence and to do what he has called us to do? Because I pray so. Brothers and sisters, let's be homesick for glory. Let's be passionate about our eternal treasure, our Lord Jesus, and the life that he gives and what he promises. As the praise team comes up, just be mindful of that. Be mindful of, do I want to do anything I can to get more of the Lord, to be about him. Is he my pursuit? I pray he is for all of us. Heavenly Father, Lord, we just come before you this morning. We're thankful for your word. We're thankful for who you are. Lord, I pray for everyone here, Lord, in this room, everyone hearing this, Lord, that we do everything that we can do to be about you, to pursue you, to be about your presence, to be about our eternal home. Lord, to go, to share, to read, to be in your word, Lord, to be hungry, to be on fire for you. Truly, Lord, we have you. You have chosen us. We have your presence. Lord, and we thank you for that. We thank you for the fact that we will be with you in eternity forevermore, Lord, because of our Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, it's in his name that we pray. Amen.